Blog Talk Radio.
And the one and only Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing okay. My little puppy isn't exactly feeling well, but hopefully it's just the cold and he's going to get over it.
So, how much snow did you get up in Saranac Lake, Leslie?
That's the funniest thing. The weather up here is just unpredictable. We actually only have like 2 or 3 inches of snow. We basically have no snow to speak of.
Shut the front door.
Oh. Jump back. say it isn't so.
How much snow is down there?
We got 28 inches up here in Rutland, and it's snowing right now, actually. And I'm just tired of it.
We got 20.
And we also have on the line with us the Admiral himself, Admiral Ken. He's down in Albany. How you doing tonight, Ken?
Well, we're okay. Like I said, we're the 6 times it took me to get the car out from the farm, it took a little out of me this weekend. Like I said, don't expect too much brilliance. But I'm doing okay. We had a little dusting this afternoon, but it appears to be over.
So, guys, welcome to Sun Fresh. We have a fun show planned for you guys tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Leslie tonight with Terra Firma Part 2, and we're going to find out what Leslie thought about the return of the Guardian of Forever, ever, 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 ever. And then we're going to be talking about female rivals, Star Trek. We've got a pretty good list to discuss. If you'd like to call and be part of the show, our phone number here is 646-668-2433. But I have a special treat for you guys. Because we just got 25,000 followers on our Facebook page, kind of our way of saying thank you, I've asked Leslie if she would agree to sign a photo for one of our lucky listeners. So the first person that calls the show at 646-668-2433 will get an autographed picture of your choice from Leslie. Now, as you know, Leslie doubled B'Elanna Torres on Star Trek Voyager. She's been on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. She's been on Nightmare on Elm Street. No running in the hallway. Although, I don't say as well as Leslie. But at any rate, Leslie has several different photos to choose from, and she can sign anything on the photo that you like. It's kind of our way of saying thank you to you guys, the fans. So, if you want to give us a call and win an autographed photo of Leslie from one of her various roles, the phone number here is 646 668 2433. And the first caller to call, and actually you can talk to Leslie in person if you call tonight, and you can tell Leslie exactly what you want her to sign on your photo and what photo you want. So the number here is 646-668-2433. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air with the Leslie Hoffman. So, Leslie, did you get a chance to watch Star Trek Discovery, Terra Firma, Part 2?
Yeah, yes, I did. And it was kind of interesting because you and I had a discussion after Part 1 where you said Carl is the guardian of forever, and I answered you back that I thought the door was the rock in City on the Edge of Forever. And sure enough, in Part 2, it was like a split. He was the guardian. Oh. Carl was the guardian of forever, but the door did turn into the rock on City on the Edge of Forever. So between the two of us, we guessed.
They're downstairs. They're downstairs. Several hours. Yeah, they're going to cut the wall out. Yeah, they're gonna end up cutting the wall out.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm back, guys. You still with me?
Oh, yeah.
As I said,
we will be quiet.
We had an emergency here at work, and I'm currently at work, and I had to talk to the contractor. But anyway, we did talk about that, Leslie. We did talk about the Guardian.
Yeah, so it was interesting because a lot of people were guessing that Carl was Q, but you and I felt that this was more, like you say, the time traveler jumping back in history, and it was
and
a good
what
episode.
Did you think, what did you think, Leslie, about them giving the Guardian a physical form and a personality? Did that bother you?
Well, I forget if I said anything on last week, but I know I texted to you. Is what really threw me was he was sitting in an Adirondack chair. I mean, very distinct chair and named for our area. No, it was in, well, obviously, I guess they couldn't have a door. I mean, back in the 60s, to have a rock speak to you, I guess, was acceptable. But I guess it would have been kind of weird to have a door speak to you. So Carl, as a human form person, was totally acceptable.
And they named him Carl after the great Carl Sagan, which I thought was a good homage.
Yeah. Billions and billions of stars.
So, Leslie,
well,
what do you think
was
happened?
It millions? I don't remember. But I remember that he
what
had lines. That's what he's famous for.
Where do you think he sent Giorgio?
Well, that's what I'm...
That's the question.
Okay. Now we're splitting hairs because, I mean, technically speaking, she's going to be doing Section 31. So when you say, where are they sending her? I mean, I don't know if you're asking for a time period in Section 31 or exactly, you know... really what that question, I mean, I feel it's pre-everything. I mean, maybe it's even before this universe Giorgio was killed. I mean, we'll have
yeah.
to see.
We just don't know, but what we do know is a lot of fans are upset that she's leaving, but we always knew that Section 31, they said it right from the first episode of Discovery, that Section 31 would not happen until the end of Season 3, so we knew they had to get Giorgio back somehow. So, at when? That's the question, but we don't know that. But Leslie, we have a caller on the line. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, okay.
So let's see who we got on the line here. If I can get my thick computer from work here to answer the phone. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Stunt Treks. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello? Hey, thanks for calling.
No problem.
So what's your name?
Summer Cranker.
And where are you calling us from?
Saranac Lake.
Saranac Lake?
Uh-oh.
Leslie, somebody calling from all the way in Saranac Lake? Hard to believe.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
Hi.
Are you excited about getting a photo?
Yes.
So what would you like Leslie to sign on your picture? Do you want a picture of her from Nightmare on Elm Street or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Good choice. Well, you know what you need to do? Do you have a question for Leslie? You want to ask Leslie a question while we got you on the line?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. She doesn't fight, I promise. Leslie, you don't fight, do you? Leslie doesn't fight.
How long did it take
you? So what you need to do is, do you have access to Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, go over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page and drop us a message there and let us know your mailing address and what you want Leslie to sign on your photo for you. And Leslie will check that out and she'll sign your photo and maybe she'll hand deliver it since you live right there in Saranac Lake. Right, I mean, how big can Saranac Lake be, right, Leslie?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, I have my own fan club. My own local
yes.
fan club.
Local fan club.
How long did it take you to put your makeup on?
To be Torres, it took about an hour and a half, but it took about 45 minutes to get the makeup off.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was in the chair for like 2.5 hours, you know, an hour and a half the beginning of the day and 45 minutes the end of the day.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then well, what was so funny is that by the time they put the makeup on, you would sit around for hours. And I might do the stunt towards the end of the day, and maybe that would take 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, all that work to put the makeup on for about filming, well, when I say 10 or 15 minutes on a camera, the stunt itself is only, you know, a few seconds long usually. So it's a lot of work to get just seconds of film.
Yeah.
Leslie, who is your favorite? Who is your favorite girl to work with on Star Trek Voyager?
Whoa. Well, like I say, Voyager. Oh, you ruined it for me. If you had said DS9, I would have said Goldacott, Mark Alamo. Voyager, boy, that's a, believe it or not, that's a hard one to guess. It was, oh boy, I'm just trying to run through my head. It's like all the Roberts mixed together was such fun working with them. Robert Picardo, you're going to have to, Robert,
Duncan
McNeil.
He had
three names.
Yeah, Robert Duncan McNeil.
Robert Duncan McNeil, and then Chakotay. That's the other Robert.
Lots of Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, they, those three, they were always, well, I take that back. I mean, and Garrett Wang was that, you know, they were always kidding around. So it was fun working with all the men. I don't know, it's sort of like Clue. It's really funny. The actors seem to be more relaxed on the set or has, I hate to say, has less of an ego. I mean, it's just fun working on the set, while I feel actresses tend to be more protective of their position, and therefore they don't necessarily talk to you that much.
Now, Leslie, did you ever work directly with Roxanne Biggs Dawson when you were doubling or doing stunts for as B'Elanna Torres, or was she never on set when you were doing scenes for her character?
Well, again, she was on the set, but she was on the set. I mean, she wasn't mean to me, but she sure wasn't talkative to me. I mean, I feel like Doris Roberts on Remington Steele was probably the most talkative actress that I doubled. I mean, she enjoyed sitting there and talking to me about different things. But sometimes you get actresses that, you know, they, like I say, they just don't want to talk to you, and I respect their privacy.
And before we have to take our first commercial break, why don't you tell us a little bit about B'Elanna Torres' hair? I know there's a story about that.
Yeah, is that I got the hand-me-down wigs. And, I mean, these were real human hair wigs. They were about $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000 wigs. I mean, I can't believe that's how much a wig costs. But then again, boy, when you buy things for the movie industry, people jack up the price. But so I'd be wearing like a $5,000-$6,000 wig from the previous year, but that, you know, they had it for me.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So listen, make sure that you head over. Did you get that Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page? Did you get that okay?
Let me see your mom just
quickly. Yes.
So just head on over there and shoot Leslie a little message and let her know that you talked to us on the show. And let her know that you want a Star Trek picture and what you would like her to sign on it, you know, and she'll take care of that for you and get that right out to you. And since you happen to live in Saranac Lake, I'm sure it won't take too long to get there because, you know, Leslie's in Saranac Lake as well. All right, Leslie? You know? And she'll get that right out to you. So, Do you listen to our podcast a lot, or is this the first time?
First time?
Cool.
Yep.
We love first time listeners.
Yeah,
you
I was Moana for Halloween.
Wow. Leslie, what do you think about that? A lot?
Yeah, not. That
wow.
I'm not sure how to answer. It was a treat for her mother.
Well, that's cool. So make sure that you get that information out to Leslie so that he can get your autographed picture out in the mail to you as soon as possible. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you very much for calling and try to have a very good night. And stay warm. Warm and dry up there. I know you guys don't have as much snow as we have here, but still, try to stay warm and try to stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much for calling. And thank you for listening and have a great night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Leslie, you got some fans up in Saranac Lake.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I have people here who know that I was in the industry, but I didn't realize I had Star Trek fans.
Yeah, I think that's really, really cool. We had another caller on the line, but when I answered this call, that person hung up. So if you're still listening to the show, that other person that called from the area code 518, give us a call back. We'd love to talk to you. And maybe if Leslie's in a giving mood, you know.
I'm willing to give them an autograph picture too.
Yeah, so please give us a call back. And Leslie is very, very, very giving, especially around Christmas. And we love our fans. We couldn't do the show without you guys. So please give us a call back, and Leslie will be more than happy to get a picture out to you as well. The phone number here is 646-668-2433. For our listeners at Odyssey Radio, we have to take our first commercial break, well, our only commercial break of the night. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about female rivals on Star Trek, and we got some good ones on the list. And Admiral Ken's going to be joining that conversation with us as well. So run, don't walk to the bathroom, and hurry on back. And whatever you do, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more Stunt Trek right after this very important message.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday nights, 7:30 to 9:30, all hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking, boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And we're back, Stunt Treks, with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hoffman. Leslie just gave away one autographed picture to a fan up in Saranac Lake. And if you'd like to get an autographed picture from Leslie, please give us a call. And the phone number here is 646-668-2433. I had another caller on the line, but the caller hung up. So please give us a call back, and Leslie will take care of everything for you. So, Leslie, we're going to be talking about female rivals. And I have a huge poster hanging on my wall. A movie poster for Star Trek VI, signed by George. It says, to Jim, some of my best friends are Klingons. Ken, you remember when I had him sign that for me by chance? Because you were there.
Probably was, but it was one of those things where, I don't recall you like showing everybody. I mean, you might have gotten it signed, but, you know. That wasn't one that I think you kind of paraded around a little. Maybe you did. I don't know. It's been 30 years or so. So yeah, or 20 years.
Do you remember
years,
when
yeah.
they had the? Remember when they had the Sit Long and Prosper, and they had the Star Trek movie marathon at the movie theater up on Troy Schenectady Road in Latham.
Oh yeah, matter of fact, I still have the ticket for that. Yes.
That's where I had him sign it.
Okay.
That's how long
George. Oh God, George is a dear. I mean, I still, you know, I mean, I pay $5,000 to have a dinner with him.
He was
of course,
definitely
his price
awesome.
Probably higher now, but you know.
And the reason why I bring that up is because we're talking about female villains, and one of the most memorable or one of the best ones that comes to my mind is Lieutenant Valeris from Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Yes.
She just popped right in. Kim Cattrall played her in the movie.
Yes, who also, who also was in the movie The Mannequin. Or Mannequin, rather, not The Mannequin.
And she played Lassie in the Porky's movie, too.
And she was in, oh, God, that TV show, the name just flew right out of my head.
She was in
yeah.
Police Academy, and she was also
yeah.
in Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
She's been in a lot of stuff. So that was one of the female rivals that popped in my head right off the top. How about you, Leslie? Who popped in your mind?
Going back to the original series, I think I hate using word villains because in some cases I think they were, well, as you said, we're calling them rivals as opposed to villains. I think the worst one was Janice Luster in Turnabout Intruder, but she sort of had a reason. In the 1960s, just like they wouldn't let Majel Barrett be number two in Turnabout Intruder, they said that women really couldn't be commanders of starships. So Janice kind of went crazy. She found this machine that she was able to change places or however you want to, you know, her thought or brain went into Kirk, and Kirk became Janice Luster. You know, so I think that's the most aggressive rival from the original series. I mean, in Cat's Paw, Sylvia, who kept turning into, or was one of the two black cats in TOS. The other one was, what was it, All Our Yesterdays, or
ISIS.
I keep wanting to say Gary Seven.
Yeah.
You know, Sylvia wanted, like, ultimate power, or she wanted power over everybody, which was also interesting because Cat's Paw came out pretty much around Halloween. So I think that's about the only episode that seemed to have a theme for that time of year. Special mentions are Larissa. Well, like I say, these people were rivals, but they weren't evil. Larissa in That's Which Survives, the one that would touch people and, like, all their cells would burst, she was protecting the planet. And that's, you know, so I don't make her a villain. I'm not sure if you say Kara or Kara in Spock's brain. I mean, when she didn't have the teacher filling her head with knowledge, I mean, she was running the planet below the Earth. So again, you know, they were protecting the planet. The only other person that I came up with the original series was Alana. Again, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, of Troyes. She didn't really, at the beginning of the episode, she really didn't want to be a bride or just this thing that you bargained away for peace treaty. So she was pretty nasty. But again, I mean, she had her own pride. Next Generation, you had the Duras sisters. I mean, again, were they really bad or were they protecting the House of Duras?
Well, the House of Duras is pretty crooked.
Well, I thought several of the houses weren't exactly the nicest group of people. I mean, other than Worf's house,
I protest. I am not a merry man.
He's not a merry man.
Maybe that's why he wasn't so merry.
Excellent.
In the episode, the Devils Do, Ardra. Now, she was a con artist. Now, you might go ahead and put that in a villain or a nasty rival person. I mean, you know, she's conning the whole planet that she's the devil and she's come back after 1,000 years to get the profits of the 1,000 years of what should I say, the progress of the planet and I guess you would call it the wealth, whether it's food or whatever. You know, again, she was a con artist. I'm kind of going through this fast, and actually I'm doing this a lot faster. Deep Space Nine, I definitely feel Kai Winn.
Yes.
I don't know. She wanted power religiously. I don't know if she wanted power politically or if the two go together. What do you think of Bajor?
I think she was just a nasty, selfish character. She only cared about herself. I mean, I think she's definitely a villain because she wasn't acting in the religious benefit of Bajor. She wasn't acting out of the benefit of the people. She was acting out of her own selfish gains, I think.
You think she was the Jim Jones of Bajor?
I think so, yeah. Absolutely. I was thinking, before we left TNG, I was thinking of another one that popped in my head, a character played by Denise Crosby, a Romulan named Fela.
Right. Yeah, I could agree. I mean, again, you know, it's... Why, in a way, I hate to use this as an example, because Native Americans, Indians, were here first in the United States, and the white men obliterated them. Now, okay, so are Indians bad guys, or are white guys, or the Europeans, are they bad guys?
Well, I think in Star Trek, that's so far in the future that I don't think any of that stuff really applies in the future anymore. But in the context where it was written, it probably would.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if she even had a name. The Romulan commander in the original series that thought she was seducing Spock, and Spock was using her, and Kirk is being crazy, but the whole point was he was stealing the cloaking device.
Yes, that was an excellent, the Enterprise incident, season 3 of TOS. I loved her character. She was awesome.
Yeah, so you know, again, is that the Romulans owned the cloaking device. The Federation thought that was a bad idea, so they steal the cloaking device. So, you know, it's like, I guess both sides could technically have an argument on who's the bad guy.
Well.
You know, then you have the Borg Queen in Voyager. I mean, she just wants to assimilate everybody.
Yeah, that's
and does.
Not a good thing. That's a bad thing.
But that's what I. It's they did an episode, and I can't think of the name. And I think it's a Voyager episode, and I don't know if it was just called The Scorpion, or, you know, and it's based on the tale that I don't remember what animal the scorpion asks to take it across the river, and the animal says, but if I take you across the river, you're going to sting me and I'm going to die. And the scorpion says, I'm not going to do that. I promise I'm not going to do that. And the end of the tale is that they get about halfway across the river and the scorpion stings whatever animal it was. And the scorpion, you know, the animal says, why did you do this? And the scorpion says, that's what a scorpion does.
Yeah, and they both died.
Yeah.
They both ended up.
But that's what I'm saying is that a lot of these, I'll call it races, well, I don't know. I mean, no, it's not nice to have a group of people go out across the universe to take over other planets. I mean, it'd be nice if people would just leave other people alone. But I don't know. The episodes where someone is defending their territory, is that really wrong for them to defend their territory? I mean, if they've
You were talking about Romulans, and you were talking about Borg, and that made a character from Star Trek Picard pop in my head, and that was Narissa, the Romulan spy that was working at Starfleet, who was trying to wipe out all the androids. And she was kind of a bad guy. You know, depending
yeah.
on how you look at it.
Yeah. So, I mean, these have all been rivals. We actually didn't get to discuss the last episode of Discovery, but Discovery, you know, I mean, is Giorgio good the Mirror Giorgio, is she good or is she just the Empress of what she rules? I mean, if she's taking away other planets, if she's blowing up other planets and things like that, that's not so good. But if she's ruling her own empire, is she really bad? I don't know. It's one of these really strange questions to ask.
I think.
And then, other than I hope I'm saying this all right, is Osira, which we seem to have lost that storyline at the moment, and they're running out of episodes for this season. I saw this on a web page, is that they called her the Wicked Witch of the West Quadrant, which is one of the first things I said, is she looked like the Wicked Witch. And then I think she came back and said the Emerald Chain. And
I posted that on the Facebook page for you of her as the Wicked Witch.
But I never saw this whole saying, the Wicked Witch of the West Quadrant.
But, you know, I think it all depends on, as Obi-Wan Kenobi said in Star Wars, it all depends on a certain point of view, is what determines that.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean... I hate to go back, or I have to go back in our history, is that, I mean, Hitler wanted to wipe out countries, and did. I mean, and he wanted to wipe out certain people. He didn't like gypsies, Latvia, Jews, I mean, people that were... the only word I can think is coming in my head is defective. But if they weren't 100% well, he just wanted to kill them all off. And
yep.
that's going over the line, you know. It'd be nice if people could live in peace. And you're always going to have a Genghis Khan, a Napoleon, or I'm doing a original Star Trek where they say, you know, Hitler, Genghis Khan, Napoleon, Khan. You're supposed to give some names that you recognize, and then you add in a couple of so-and-so of whatever, of Mars.
Well, you know,
I mean, I guess there's always going to be good and bad. I guess, unfortunately, in this world, there are people that are going to want or take more.
Well,
it'd be nice if they go away.
I think Star Trek is rich. The history of Star Trek, the 54 years of Star Trek, I think Star Trek is rich with powerful female characters, be they villains or friends or foes. Would you agree with that, Leslie?
I think the 60s kind of... Like I say, I think the 60s was a little less, or it just wasn't common that a woman really could be in power. But I think by the time we got to Next Generation and definitely have gone up to today, it's acceptable that women can be powerful.
Yeah, they definitely have had some very good female characters, be they good guys, bad guys, in-between guys, on Star Trek through the years. Way too many to list out and talk about all here, but there's been a lot of them. Many, many.
Yeah.
What about the female Q, played by Susie Plaxton? Where would you put her on the list?
You know, I purposely excluded her from the list because we talked a little bit about her last week. Is that she was what started Susie or Q, the female Q, was that John DeLancey, the male Q, decided that he wanted children, and he decided he wanted children with Janeway, and she was jealous. I mean, she didn't kill anybody, but well, I still say Susie could have her own show. I don't care what character she plays. She is such a, well, she's older now, but I've always found her characters very powerful.
Yeah, she plays some great characters, absolutely.
Yeah.
She's really, really a good actress.
She is. I mean, when they killed her off in the second episode that she was in Next Generation, I'll say I cried. I just felt that she took over both episodes. I mean, it wasn't an episode about Worf. It wasn't an episode about the Enterprise. To me, both episodes ended up being about Susie. I mean, that's just how. In fact, I'm talking about actors and actresses now. Is that's just how powerful Mark Alamo is. You know, when he's being Goldacott. I mean, he can just do amazing things with the character.
Now, where would you put the Ferengi on your list? How about Boogie from Deep Space Nine? Quark and Rom's mother. She married Grand Nagus Zek on Deep Space Nine.
Oh. That was an interesting character because they supposedly established that Ferengi women should be naked and not heard and all that, and again she was a powerhouse, but or she was bulking the system.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she was a bad guy. But she was just changing the way things were. She was challenging the system.
Yeah, she was able. Sometimes when women aren't allowed to have their own voice, they kind of use the man to get their way.
Yeah, and that's what she did. She married the Grand Nagus. He retired, and then Rom became the Grand Nagus. And we don't know what happened to the Ferengi Empire after those changes because we haven't gone back and revisited them yet.
Yeah, no, and I feel Rom. Again, now we're talking about something that hasn't been written about, unless it has been written in a book, is that I'm sure she was able to get Rom to make changes.
Oh, I'm sure of it. And of course, Rom married Leeta, so Leeta became the Mrs. Nagus.
Right.
And that was a strong female character.
Right. But
in a very
strange way. I mean, you know, she started off as a Dabo girl, which really should have no say at all, and then she marries Rom, and I don't know if she had a powerful voice, but she had a changing effect on Rom, and I guess Quark had to live with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Leslie, have you looked at your clock?
I know, we're almost done, and before we really run out of time, is that I was hoping the second caller was going to call back, because now I'm very curious who the second caller might have been, but definitely come Thursday, I am more than willing to give a picture to the first caller on Thursday.
Yeah, we will give another picture away on Trek Talking on Thursday night, from 7:30 to 9:30. We'll be talking, of course, about Terra Firma Part 2 in great length and detail, as well as the return of Luke Skywalker and what happened to Baby Yoda on the Mandalorian season finale. So you guys definitely want to tune in for that on Thursday night. And the first caller, of course, 646-668-2433, can get themselves an autographed picture of the one and only Leslie Hoffman. So that'll be pretty cool. And also, please head over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. And if you have an idea for a show or something you'd like to hear me and Leslie talk about, or if you just want to say hello, that's the place to do it. Leslie's always checking the page, and she'd love to hear from you. That's the Facebook page, Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization. So check that out as well. And Leslie, we're just about out of time. Where does it go?
I don't know. It seems to fly by even faster now. And let's see, next week will be past Christmas. It'll be December 27th. It'll be the last show of the year.
That's right. It'll be our final show of the year. And yeah, by the way, Trek Talking will not be on Thursday night because that's Christmas Eve. So Trek Talking will actually be on Saturday. I should have said that earlier. Yes, our next show is not actually Thursday. It's going to be Saturday the 26th at 11 a.m. So I'll be doing Trek Talking Saturday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, I'll be back with Leslie on Sunday at our usual time, which is 7 p.m., because we have Christmas in there. So there will be no show on Thursday night. It'll be Saturday morning at 11 a.m. So mark your calendars. And I just want to say thank you to Ken for hanging out with us tonight. And, you know, thank you for all of our callers and our listeners. And our lucky listeners won an autographed picture from Leslie. And that pretty much wraps up the show. So thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight, Leslie, and making the show possible.
Always a pleasure. And hopefully I'll have a well puppy next week.
Let's hope so. My dog had surgery on her leg too, so hopefully we can get that done so she can walk again. And everybody, you need to stay safe and be good to each other. Have the happiest and safest of holidays. Thank you very much for listening, guys. I'm your Uncle Jim signing off. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Let's see what's out there.